Hello, Robots in Disguise fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Transformers Robots in Disguise After Show. Today we are looking at Season 4, Episode 5, Sphere of Influence. Cue up your Lord of the Rings jokes now, and rev up and roll out.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We took a little bit of time trying to figure out what Lord of the Rings song we wanted, and then we realized, no, this is perfect. This is perfect.
I guess we could have opened on Gollum's theme, but...
Oh, but that's not as much fun as this.
That's more menacing, and this is just kind of a hoot.
This is like a 15-year-old meme at this point. This is vintage meme. It's been aged in the annals of YouTube.
Oh my gosh, that's so weird to think that, like... Memes are over a decade old. Oh, goodness.
This meme,
is it 20 years old now?
I don't know. I don't think it predates YouTube, but I think it's like early days.
Is the movie 20 years old now? We're getting close.
Maybe. When did they come out?
Early 2000s, so no, not yet. Oh, man. We're getting old.
That meme absolutely predates YouTube because YouTube was like 2005.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
According to this YouTube video, it was uploaded in 2006.
May 11th, 2006. Okay. Holy butts.
But this person fully acknowledges that they are not the original uploader. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that meme predates YouTube.
Anyway, welcome. Wow. Welcome
Someone
to
get
the,
on to Know Your Meme and let us know.
Welcome to the meme after show.
Yeah, definitely. Know Your Meme Live. No, guys, welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Transformers Robots in Disguise after show. We are looking at Season 4, Episode 5, the next Lord of the Rings. I mean, Sphere of Influence. Like, just, it's not going to stop. It's going to be precious jokes from here till the end. Let's be real.
At least this episode was contained to 22 minutes and not...
22 hours.
And not three-hour-long movies.
Oh, no, you gotta watch the extended versions. It's like 12 hours total. It's a whole
so long.
Day. And then you add in The Hobbit, and that's another 12 hours.
That should have just been one or two movies. Why did they need to make it three?
I wasn't kidding about 22 hours worth of content.
Oh, goodness
yeah.
gracious.
So, yeah, with me I have Megan Lord Megantron Salinas.
Hey, guys. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
Our wrecker is out today. She is recovering from a bad bout of toxin. You can tweet her your well wishes at atorres890. And I am Katie Kia Prime Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the Twitter hashtag ABTVRID. We have the live chat. And we've got all sorts of people having all sorts of fun in the live chat. So if you have something fun to say, if you've got a comment or a question or a Lord of the Rings joke, throw out the hashtag, throw it in the live chat. You may well get a shout out. Devoror has already started us off in the hashtag making my precious jokes and putting up a that belongs in a museum Indiana Jones gift.
Oh my gosh, which is, again, absolutely perfect for this episode.
You're trying to edge in on my museum.
I did kind of get a little bit of an indie vibe.
A little bit.
But yeah, especially with like the gun blasting at the very beginning too. Like that was very reminiscent of like an old indie movie. That was fun.
Well, and just, is he calling his gun his pal? Bless you, Blur. You are new.
Interns ask silly questions, and there's no such thing as a stupid question.
We really need to introduce him to Gamer Meme Lobster. Bisque.
Oh, I thought you meant like another meme. What are you talking about?
Bisque. Oh. We really should have thrown Bisque in with Springload and, God, what was the name? Quillfire.
Oh,
with the crazy person and the Redditor.
Gosh, like, man.
Could you imagine?
There's only so much crazy, I feel like, our bots can deal with in any given episode. And I feel like Springload on his own meets that quota pretty quickly.
Oh, he surpasses that quota. He was here for maybe half the episode, and he was just making up for lost time.
I...
You lied to me!
I felt so bad for him. in this episode, because he's always been a little crazy, and when you deal with crazy characters, you definitely get, it's funny half the time, but the other half of the time, it's like you're walking the razor's edge of feeling uncomfortable when you're dealing with a crazy antagonist.
It's just like, buddy, you need help.
In this episode, I felt so insanely bad for him, because for the first time, like, our heroes start to kind of experience what is constantly going on in his head every single hour of every single day.
Well, I think he had already taken leave of his mind long before anyone came in contact with the sphere of Doradus. Like, it seemed just as much a surprise to him as anyone else. Like, oh, it's here. I don't think he'd ever seen it before, but I do think he wholeheartedly believed it existed. But no, the sphere did not make people start talking to spirits. That's calling him Springtrap. That's Springloads thing.
Different robot.
I'm wearing a Five Nights at Freddy's shirt. I have already crossed the wires.
I actually think that with this orb, the sphere that we find in the episode, I actually feel like this is maybe one of other relics that exist that I honestly feel like a relic from Doradus could have driven Springload insane.
Oh, probably.
So I feel like absolutely. Maybe he didn't come in contact with this sphere, but definitely some artifact from Doradus. Because we find out that Doradus may actually be a place in this episode.
Like, the last half a second is like, by the way, map, and you're sitting there going, oh god, he was right the whole time.
It's okay. That sphere is being looked over by top men.
Who's looking over it?
Top men.
Cut to Denny throwing it in the trash compactor.
Alongside, and then the camera pulls back and it's a trash compactor that has tons of other artifacts crushed within it.
Oh, my God, yeah. If it's not Lord of the Rings jokes, it's indie jokes.
Definitely.
You just have this moment of, oh, my God, Springload is right.
About something, at least.
He's still crazier than a bag full of cats, mind you, but he's...
You know that saying, you know, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get me? Just because he's crazy doesn't mean he's wrong in this scenario.
I feel like we come across that a lot.
Yeah.
Not even just in this show, but in media. And in some ways it's poorly used, like, oh, this person has a mental illness, but it makes them a savant, or it makes them a this, and it's like, they kind of become, the phrase is inspiration porn. Like, they're disabled, but they can do it, so you can too. Don't do that.
It makes me upset.
Is the opposite direction, the opposite extreme. He's just nuts.
Yeah.
But he's also right.
I feel like I don't know which is more tragic. The fact that he's crazy and that, you know, for a long time he was obsessing it about a place that we were like, clearly doesn't exist. Or the fact that he's crazy and is obsessed with a place that may actually exist. And the one thing that held the map to where he desperately wanted to go was destroyed as everybody turned their backs. If somebody had been looking and had seen the map flash up, that would have been like somebody to validate poor Springload. But, like, this poor, poor guy will, like, he will forever be on this quest with no other leads. And, yes, he could eventually get there someday, but it's never going to happen because there went the one map.
We both laughed.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was
real
hysterical.
Like,
it was hysterical.
That was a brilliant way to end the episode. I find it very convenient that, like, this part of the legend is true. This part of the legend is true. The horrifying, destructive power that this thing is supposed to have. Nah, we just made that up. But the rest of it, we are 66% true. And I'm like, that is a really convenient one-third false.
Well,
like, wow.
Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, because the parallels were very much El Dorado, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's not a city made of Doradus. It's not a city made of gold. It was like a city where, like, the Fountain of Energon existed,
yeah.
Right?
It's kind of Fountain
same
of Youthy. As the...
Yeah.
Oh, God. Vasco de Gaña, yeah, I can't remember the explorer's name. Was
Vasco de Gaña, yeah, that guy.
Was looking for the Fountain of Youth in Florida.
Clock to Verada. Yeah, got it. Got it, that guy.
Vasco de Gama, was it?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Floridian lore.
This is me, like, fourth grade history when we did the unit on explorers. I did Balboa, you guys. That was completely
different.
I do
my best to forget most things I learn about Florida. but no offense to anybody who lives in Florida out there. But
just offense to Florida itself.
Just the concept of Florida.
And Florida, man.
But here, like, I also kind of think that, like, I think that the show could keep running with that joke of it being a real thing. And I also think it would be hysterical if, to add insult to injury, he finally did end up at Doradus. And it turns out Doradus is Cybertronian for giant rock.
We have Kiki Omer in chat saying it's tough to be a con. You guys are wonderful.
You guys are on point tonight.
You know we adore you, right? There are 17 people watching us, and we adore each and every one of you in your own special individual way.
You guys are hilarious. Thank you.
Yeah, good lord. The other thing chat wants to talk about is Drift actually being amazing this episode. And I was just like, oh god, here we go. He got hit with the...
He's amazing every episode.
Yeah, but this
one is... You know
all
two that he's been in.
Yeah, God. This one was far less Worf has the flu and far more, hey, remember this guy and he's kind of hyper-competent? Let's do that. Been a while. Let's do that.
I was worried that, like, when he got blinded for a moment, I was like, oh, man, Katie's going to be ticked. And then 2 seconds later, he actually, like... Like, the scene did not play out in the Worf has the flu way at all.
Yeah, no.
We're
bucking tradition.
Yeah. You know, I think even Drift, after a while, has to get fed up and go, yeah, no, I'm not going to keel over just because I get sprayed with poison. I am going to own this scene.
See, I tend not to get angry with Drift stuff anymore. I'm just kind of resigned.
So not mad, just disappointed.
Exactly. But this was a very nice change and a nice return to form for when he first showed up. And we got another reference to that with B calling him Bounty Hunter like it's a dirty word. Like, this episode was like 80% yelling.
Yeah, it basically
was. In various flavors.
It was just basically people yelling at each other.
We got the Terry McGinnis voice.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I've never heard that in a dog's age.
For those of you kids out there, Terry McGinnis was the name of the character in Batman Beyond who became the new Batman.
Also voiced by Will Friedle.
Yes. And so anytime he busts out the Terry McGinnis Batman voice, you know things are serious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's legit.
You don't hear that very often in B, and this was just like full rage mode for most of them. It's just, you're trying to edge in on my museum. Oh boy. Yes.
Can I just say, I love Will Friedle's range because
yes.
He goes from Ron Stoppable to Terry McGinnis, and B is kind of, he's more on the Terry McGinnis if we're looking at the ends of the spectrum, he's more on the Terry McGinnis side, but you can definitely hear the youthful enthusiasm that a character like B possesses as well.
We had that episode in season one, I think it was, Adventures in Bee Sitting, where he just kind of, whoo, I'm like, ah, that's their unstoppable voice right there.
It was amazing.
It really was.
I love this show. It gives us both.
Yeah. Get you a bot that can do both.
There you go.
But yeah, just good lord. So we have the Sphere of Doradus, which is this week's MacGuffin.
The precious.
Which kind of drives everyone crazy with greed. And it starts kind of low key with everyone going, oh, it could be this, oh, it could be this, and everyone thinking, like, oh, it's this thing that would be important to me and my interests. And then, no, it's a legend. We don't know what it is. It's a legend. Like, thank you for showing us that Optimus Prime can be wrong. You don't get that very often.
No.
We really don't. It's like, he's Optimus Prime. Like,
although, unlike other shows, this show actually is one that is... usually more... Prime did it every now and then, but this show is the one that's more willing to show Optimus being incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
More, I think, than any other Transformers, at least U.S. Transformers show. I don't know. Armada is weird.
Armada doesn't count. Armada was not made in the United States.
I'm not really counting animated either because he was super inexperienced in that series. But in terms
animated
of like...
is a real fun little AU.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. But like here, yeah, Optimus Prime, he's you know, his whole shtick is that he's very wise and
experienced.
Experienced. This show, unlike a lot of other shows, is definitely willing to go the other way and say, yeah, he's Optimus Prime. That doesn't mean he's not wrong. And we had that a lot in season two.
Oh, yeah. Especially towards the end.
Yeah. But here, I feel like it's just more misinformation than anything else.
Yeah. It's a legend. It doesn't exist.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Optimus. You know, it's just a legend. Didn't you exist in like an afterlife for a magical afterlife for a while? You guys resurrected not only him but also the devil. I'm pretty sure that things that are in the quote-unquote
dark
legend
energon.
Yep.
Dark energon.
Pretty sure that things that are in the quote-unquote legendary or magical category are things you guys can check off pretty readily.
I mean, you have your dark energon necklace.
I have my spirit of Dorados necklace.
Like, we're wearing legends instead of the usual emblem. So,
I mean, half of Prime was tracking down ancient artifacts that had borderline magical powers.
Yeah, but they called those weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah!
Which was kind of nuts.
Which, is, again, with Transformers, I was thinking about this. I was like, is it really magic or is it actually more technology? And we kind of get
in
that.
In my realm, magic and science are the same thing.
Screw you, Thor. We're not looking for that cop-out answer. But, like, I started thinking about it. I was like, no, Realm of the Primes, Resurrection. Yeah, no, we're going to go straight up magical stuff here. So,
I don't have to explain it.
Magic does exist within the realm of Transformers, but for the most part, they stick to the hard pseudosciences.
Well, and the way they explained this was, and they did set it up when they initially had Fix-It scan the sphere. It was just, well, there's low-level energy emissions, but aside from that, it's not really doing anything. And it's like, oh, those low-level energy emissions. That's what's happening. Okay.
It is funny, though, how, like, the little things like that can very much affect you. There's, like, a real-life phenomenon that can really affect people in a negative way called infrasound. And seeing the, not necessarily, like, the, like, Gollum precious-y sort of side effects of infrasound, but infrasound in real life can have horribly negative effects on people with prolonged exposure. So, like, that's kind of what I was thinking of when they were talking about low energy emissions.
Yeah, it just, this whole thing was just like, oh boy.
Especially because later in the episode, like, it straight up actually starts causing them pain. I was like, yeah, this is kind of infrasound territory.
Yeah. Well, and I want to know where Zor-Lor got it. Where our other Skunk-Dicon came across his pal. Because I feel like he'd had it for long enough to go full Gollum because we got traps.
Yeah, that's very
true. And someone in chat about, golly, like 20 minutes ago, made a comment about when the walls started closing in, I started worrying about Blur.
You and me both. You and me both. Actually, not even going to lie, the fact that they put a sphere in a trash compactor at the end of the episode, I'm like, Blur, why don't you just take a couple steps back? Just steer clear of that. You're tinier than everybody else. Just scooch on back. It's fine.
Just stop doing the thing. Just stop doing the thing. Just but stop doing
go
the thing.
Go inside. Anytime that device gets turned on, you just go inside. Stay away from it.
Dear intern, this is not part of your job duties. And I love that he, like, at the end of the episode, he's just like, yep, running with you guys is nuts. And it's like, yeah,
you're
still learning.
You're in over your head, kid.
Oh, friend, you are still
to
learning.
To be fair, lots of internships are overwhelming. Very few, I think, actually have the world on the line, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Some internships can be super fun. And Strange Lace, who says this is their first AfterBuzz show in a long time. Hello, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Says, imagine Optimus under the effects of the sphere.
Oh. Someone just went dark.
Well, the council's already mad at everyone, I assume. We know nothing about Cybertron at this point, and I'm still going crazy.
I mean, we already had Nemesis Prime in Transformers Prime, but I imagine that Optimus under the Sphere's influence would be very Nemesis Prime-y. Or, like, there's an AU comic series. I'm not sure if it's AU or it was just one character.
It's an alternate dimension.
Yeah, it was definitely one character going into another dimension. Where in the comics, there exists a world where the Autobots are the evil ones and the Decepticons are, like, the freedom fighter-y ones. And evil Optimus is scary
terrifying.
As all get out. I am not a fan. Not a fan of that one.
Neutral good flipping to neutral evil. Yeah.
I love me my Megatron, but oh my gosh, evil Optimus is something that not only is scary and unsettling, but also hurts your heart.
And Ali Surrett says, so like, last night, Optimus? We're not talking about Bayformers in here. This is a safe space.
You mean that silly, like, fan fiction fan film that's, you know...
That's coming out in 28 days.
That's coming out in 28 days? Is that what's happening? Oh, goodness.
At some point,
there's not enough liquor in the world for me to be able to deal with that.
At some point, off-channel, we will do a nice little video about our experiences with the Bayformers movie, because they are many and varied, and one of them includes an extended Kingdom Hearts reference, which is my favorite stupid thing to do.
If that movie is squandering the Dark Energon storyline, I'm going to be so...
No, Megan, this is a safe space.
Sorry, safe space.
We're saving it for another channel.
Bring me back. Bring me back.
Bring me back. Blur's okay.
Yay!
I think they finally managed to catch Crazy Frog this time around. I think they finally got him.
Like I said, I just felt so bad for him. Like, this is the one time, like, I feel like he could have been validated, or like that the heroes could understand like some empathy for like what he is going through. And instead he gets a sheet thrown over him and he gets punched in the face.
Because Grimlock likes punching enough to stop thinking about the Sphere.
He does like punching.
I love that was, okay, play to people's strengths. Think of something else that makes you happy. Think of punching. Punching.
I do want to say... kind of a flawed strategy of like, okay, we are no longer under the Sphere's influence. Let's formulate a strategy for obtaining it again. And, you know, kudos for the tinfoil idea. That was an idea. But the overall strategy for not falling under the Sphere's influence was basically just don't.
Yeah, it was.
What kind of plan is that?
It was don't think of pink elephants.
Yeah,
no,
that immediately
don't think of
makes
don't
you
think of pink
think
elephants.
Of
now you're thinking of pink elephants. Like, yeah. That's how that works. And that's what it is. Just like, ignore the Sphere. That Sphere. All right, guys.
Does not work that way.
In which Grimlock fails his will save.
Oh, gosh.
You know?
No.
Well, will is usually an intelligence role.
I was going to say.
So.
That's
what happens when you have a -2 modifier. D&D talk.
I mean, we did point out last week that there's not a scientist on the team, or a medical professional of some sort. So I'm not sure who... I guess Fix-It would probably be the one most likely to have the highest wisdom score. Him or Drift, I imagine.
Fix-It would have the highest intelligence score. I give wisdom to Drift.
I think that's fair.
You'd think, and then he keeps getting his tailpipe kicked in battle where it shouldn't happen.
Hey, he's smart enough to know when to deploy his minicons.
This is true.
Exactly. Who are 2 to 3 years apart in age, if we recall.
Isn't it great that one...
I like that...
We talked with Roger... 3 years ago.
That's a long time ago. We're old.
At least 3 years ago. We will never let that joke die.
No.
Look up that after show. It was super fun.
I do like that we got them in this episode, Jetstorm and Slipstream. It was nice to see them again.
Yeah. I mean, we don't see them too terribly often in their own capacity. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and even when we get to see them, sometimes we don't always get dialogue with them. So it was nice to have an episode where they actually get to, you know, contribute to the plot a little bit.
They're talking about not thinking of pink elephants in chat. Renji says snapping a rubber band probably would have been more effective. And Spencer Harris says the plan was to think happy thoughts.
Not even think happy thoughts. Just think of... Actually, yeah, no, you were right. Yeah, think happy thoughts. But basically just think anything that, like, isn't the Sphere. There should have been a better strategy. Because they tried it. It immediately didn't work. And they're... next thought was, okay, let's do exactly what we just did, even though we just saw how badly it failed.
See, and the thing is, I'm wondering if straight up tinfoil hats wouldn't have worked.
I'm not sure.
I would have been damned. I need art of that, of everyone just in tinfoil hat. And Grimlock's all wrapped up like a baked potato or a Chipotle cosplayer.
I'm glad that Grimlock's happy thought was punching, but I'm not even going to lie. I was kind of hoping you'd be pretzels.
Yes! I think that
would have been delightful.
That's one of the little things I want from this season. I just want Grimlock in the background of a scene somewhere just making pretzels. They made him a giant, like, oven or griddle or something, and he's just in the background making giant pretzels. Side business for the scrapyard.
To be fair, he can't eat them. So.
It's a side business for the scrapyard.
Yep.
Just making giant pretzels. It's like outside of the Vatican, you can get donuts that are the size of hubcaps. This is a scrapyard where you can get pretzels the size of, I don't know,
I guess
hubcaps.
You don't want tourists coming to the scrapyard all that often.
True. You could make a partnership with a bakery or something.
Or a food truck of some sort.
Or sell them at the next kiddie football game.
Yeah! Aw! That would be great for the kids.
Do you have a license for those? Does it matter?
But my point is that this was not a sound strategy. And because, again, there's not really a tactician or a scientist on the team.
There isn't. They have fixed it.
There's no one to, like, provide the voice of reason of, like, hey, guys, trial and error. We just tried that. It clearly didn't work. We need something else. Here's some science for you.
Well, fix it is as close as we get for that. And he's pretty good in terms of an intelligence
person.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Fix it is also broken and somewhat distracted sometimes.
He also was under the sphere's influence for a hot second.
Yeah. Just running around screaming science like that. Bless you.
I need it for science!
Who has not run down a hall screaming science at least once in their lives?
Oh, it's the most fun thing to do.
It's the best.
Like, saying you want to do anything for the sake of science is like the most gratifying thing in the world. It's even more gratifying when you actually mean it.
Hashtag for science.
Yep.
Kiki Elmer in chat says, so Grimlock is not only a T-Rex, but Drift's poodle and now a huge iguana. Bless you.
Oh.
Just the writing for everyone when they all started getting really angry
was so great. Like, you could just see a little bit of everybody's dark side.
I mean, going after Drift with the bounty hunter thing, you oversized iguana, a strong arm wanting to be promoted above B.
And the dark side of ambition.
The dark side of ambition. And then I cannot remember Blur's line exactly, but
I forget. I'm afraid. You think I'd be writing down literally everything he's saying,
but
I missed
it. Something like, you can't fool, yeah. Something like that. Like, he straight up admits, like, yeah, I used to mess with people. Can't fool me.
You can't fool me. I'm the best sociopath there is.
I'm already there.
Get on my level.
But yeah, no, it's along the same lines of you can't kid a kidder, but it was absolutely like, nope, yep.
Oh man, it hurts me a little bit that lying is inherently a part of who he is.
If it's something you're good at, you don't lose that skill.
No, and I mean, you can use those powers for good.
Well, and you have to. You have to pass your bluff check every time you run into a human.
But like,
Strongarm's really good at it, but the sirens help.
Talking about, again, like, how much they could, like, how flawed their strategy was, this is something where, again, the human factor is an essential part of any given Transformers series.
Oh, yeah.
Without Denny and Russell, like, they would have been hosed. Completely.
Kiki Elmer to the rescue. Can't scam a scammer.
Yeah. Oh, that just made me real sad. Oh, man.
Troubled past.
Oh. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, he didn't need an evil sphere to pull some of the nonsense he pulled in Rescue Bots. Yee.
You want character growth in Rescue Bots that you just kind of look sideways at Blur and go, you're not as terrible as you used to be.
Which
you're actually much better now. Power of friendship, y'all.
Again, like, it's because it's so different from, like, my favorite iteration of Blur. I was like, I don't know how I feel about him being, like, borderline evil.
You were beside yourself when they announced Blur and Rescue Bots. You just lost your mind.
And then he turned out to be kind of like borderline evil. I'm like, you know what? I dig it. I'm okay with it.
Whatever. I'm in.
But it's still, it hurts, especially when you see, like, an iteration of, like, any, like, if somebody had been, like, really big on, like, a kid had been like, oh, Sentinel Prime, that's really cool in, like, that third movie. Like, I'm really cool. I love Leonard Nimoy. And then you're very surprised when he turns out to be evil. That's kind of upsetting.
Literally no iteration of Sentinel Prime has been good.
No.
I actually, you know what? I might be wrong in that assessment. But most recently, and most notably, if you get Sentinel Prime, it's bad news.
I was just trying to find an example of a traitor of some sort, but, like, that's all I got right now.
Yeah, just like, I'm really into this character. Oh.
That being said, again,
the
reboot
was not kind to
them. I liked the change because it presented an interesting character arc.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we still have him working through that. And then it's also people who didn't watch Rescue Bots going, what? What?
I'm like,
there's
what?
There's history here.
What? Like, again, for it being, like, the show for youngins, that one was pretty dark. Like, that's a pretty dark origin story to just, like, kind of have for a side character, like, three seasons in.
Well, and even here, one of the last lines we get is like, yeah, we all have a very tenuous grasp on some of our darker impulses. I'm like, wow! You know, for kids.
That's a little, wow, that's very self-aware of you. Wow.
That was real on the nose. It's almost like this is a sequel to a series about war.
Who'd have guessed?
I know, right?
Yeah.
This is the guy with a body count.
I do love when shows play around with that, though. When, like, you have your good guys who were flawed and obviously... I love that anybody has the capacity to, like, go over to the dark side. And I like when shows kind of illustrate that well. And you do have characters who kind of walk on that razor's edge.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It's no fun if everyone's perfect. And it's no fun if your main character is perfect. Like, what's the... I keep getting back to Sword Art Online. What's the point of having a perfect main character?
Yeah, exactly. And it also, like, I just love... Anybody can be consumed by their own desires if they get obsessed with it. Crazy Frog got obsessed with Doradus through either because of a mystical artifact that drove him crazy or just through his own obsession and maybe years of isolation.
I just kind of want, like, a Power Rangers villain origin story where he ran into some sort of mystical artifact that nobody else knew about and it drove him mad.
Yeah, I kind of, like, want that.
Full on, like, crazy Power Ranger style
stuff. I never thought I'd want the origin story for Springload of all bots. But, like, after this episode, I'm like, no, give me that origin story. And, I don't know, maybe allow him to be redeemed in some way.
Because now it's like, wait, did he actually, like, are there actually spirits talking to him? Because he was right about one thing, and we don't know how he started off. God, I want something from Springload's point of view.
I know!
Give me a 5-minute short of Springload the Treasure Hunter. Like, show me this origin story.
What world do you live in?
Show me him, like, accidentally opening the Ark of the Covenant or Rita Repulsa's trash can or whatever the heck is in there and getting hit with these spirits and just being driven to find Doradus because that's what the spirits want.
And here's the thing. What would he... Is he like the Joker in The Dark Knight? Like, just a dog chasing cars? Like, he wouldn't actually know what to do if he ever got to Doradus?
I would imagine at that point the spirits would live him, having had their quest fulfilled. Oh. He's their chosen one.
Oh, poor baby.
I am fully on board with this crazy headcanon now that he is actually possessed.
Oh, man. Oh, dude, man.
Dude, I am down.
I'm so upset. It would be so good.
I'm terrible, but this makes him, like, so interesting.
I definitely want his origin story and a potential redemption arc. I would love to see what he would be like without the crazy. Like, just a quick glimpse of the way he used to be.
Just, like, at the end of it, like, he finds Doradus, he's free of the spirits, he thanks the Autobots for helping him find Doradus, and then he just, like, whacks them all and runs away anyway.
I was gonna say,
he's
like...
He's still chaotic evil, he's just saying.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if, like, after all of that, he's like, my quest is now complete, he's at peace with himself. He's like, now I can fulfill my other greatest desire, taking over the world!
Or it just becomes like, I tried for eons to find Doradus, to get these spirits off my back, and you all tried to stop me.
And for that, vengeance!
And Crazy Frog becomes Rambo.
Evil Rambo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh my goodness. Like,
well, we've gone way off the ranch here.
We really have. Woo. We have.
We're still on topic somehow.
Point
being, in AU territory.
Point being, I want an origin story for him. And I would love to see if we're talking, because, like, not a ton of, like, Decepticons in this series have had arcs or resolutions. And, like, it's rare for a series, like I said, with the exception of, I think, Animated and Prime, it's rare for, I'll give this one to Armada, too. It's rare for a Decepticon to have an arc. And so I would love for Springload to be one of the Decepticons with an arc in this series.
Yeah, just one of those ones where it's spread out, like, over, you know, 10 seasons in a movie. Or something. I don't know. I am spitballing. Do I think there's going to be 10 seasons?
Usually if there's a Decepticon with an arc, it's Starscream. It's nice when other bots get that arc. Like when Knockout or Dreadwing, you know, they get little arcs too.
God help us, we have Soundwave.
Oh boy.
Speaking of, I assume that Shockwave is still tankety tanking happily somewhere in the wilds of Cybertron.
Could you imagine what it would have been like if Soundwave had been around this little orb? Part of me is like, oh man,
dead,
that would have
bots everywhere.
That would have gotten real dark real quick. Ooh. The other hand, I also think Soundwave is smart enough to know when he's being played.
But if it's a chemical reaction, though, or whatever counts as a chemical reaction in a Cybertronian.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a little harder to be like, no, it's just this. No, it's just this. Especially if it's like, that's a legend.
Hey, Laserbeak, get me the thing.
Go fetch. And Laserbeak comes back and it's a 5-ounce bird carrying a 1-pound coconut.
How? Maybe two birds could get the coconut. Could be carried.
Get another Minicon to go find it.
He seems to have plenty to spare.
Yeah, he's just got, like, this little, like, duckling train of Minicons.
But yeah, that's the only other thing about this
episode. Make way for Minicons.
That's the only other thing about this episode, is that we don't get anything from either faction of bots. Like, our bot antagonist in this episode just kind of, they're one-off guys that don't really have any allegiances. As far as we can tell.
But yeah, this is a fun little episode. Before we swing into predictions and before we talk about iTunes, do you have any final thoughts on it?
Just that this was a fun one. It's always nice seeing when good guys have a dark side. Just Blur, stay away from that trash compactor. Drift got a crowning moment of awesome, and I never expected to feel sorry for Crazy Frog. Well done, show.
Yeah.
Well done, show.
I mean, I enjoyed this on first watch. I enjoyed it even more on second watch. And usually it's a just as much. Even more is definitely a thing. Like, well done, y'all. All right, do you have iTunes pulled up?
I'm pulling it up
right
now.
In the meantime, I'm going to give the spiel that at this point you all know and love. Thank you so much to everyone who has gone on to iTunes, who has rated and commented and subscribed and done all those wonderful things that we ask you to do every week, because it does keep us on the air as an after show. Our producers do look at that, see that you like the podcast, and go, hey, you know, there's more giant robots. You gotta stay around for more of the giant robots? Yes, we do. And you guys help us stay around. Also, when you give us high ratings, it helps other people find us in search terms. When people look for AfterBuzz or Transformers or Robots in Disguise, we come up closer to the top the more 5-star ratings we have.
This could just be that my phone does not like the iTunes store, but I'm not seeing any new ones. So yeah, guys, if you write us one, you'll get a shout out on the show.
You will, because we adore you.
And apologies if anybody did leave a review and it's just not coming up on my phone. So sorry, guys. I don't know. My phone is really weird when it comes to the iTunes store.
Yeah, occasionally iTunes just kind of goes, I'll work on some devices, but not yours.
And I feel like it just kind of disowned mine a while ago.
No. Well, and also, if you leave a review in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, or if you leave it in the podcast area of Google Play, please take a screen cap of that and throw it in the hashtag that is ABTVRID. We do look at that. We do read those. We do love you. They're just a little harder for us to find. So, predictions.
Predictions.
Ooh. Real quick little... full predictions. Ooh. Green for Crazy Frog.
He will escape from his pod and he'll eventually find his way to El Dorado, not Doradus, and he'll be very disappointed.
Just like actual El Dorado.
Actual El Dorado.
I wasn't looking for El Dorado.
This isn't what I wanted.
I want like...
And then he'll find Atlantis. He's like, this isn't it either. I'll never find Doradus.
I really do want like 5-minute shorts of Springload the Explorer just getting turned around and finding all of these legendary human artifacts and human places, but not actually finding like... He finds the Holy Grail. He finds the Ark of the Covenant.
Just like
he finds all sorts of crazy stuff.
Well, I mean, and it would be funny too if like some of those, you know, human artifacts were in fact actually Cybertronian artifacts, because we were talking earlier about how the other guy happened to find this sphere. Let's be honest, you can't really go 2 feet on planet Earth without stubbing your toe on a Cybertronian artifact of some sort.
Well, I mean, our planet's core is Robot Satan.
Yeah, so... that's what it is. You know how you do.
That's one of the...
But as far as... Because everything kind of got tied up in this one-off episode, the next episode is called Be Cool, and it looks like it's a B and Blur episode.
Which, speedsters for days. We're going to make some terrible decisions.
I'm okay with. I'm 100% okay with that.
I mean, whenever it's a speedster-heavy episode, you just know that there will be bad decisions involved. Because really that's what speedsters do. They go fast and they make bad decisions.
They do. And
again, everyone in this show makes bad decisions. That I can't really make that distinction anymore.
Well, it's just that, like, as much as I love Blur, I don't necessarily want to see... The first episode we had with him this season, we had the whole sideswipe rivalry thing. I don't need to see that played out over and over again.
Yeah.
Especially because I want to see these characters do something new, and I'm interested in the unique dynamics in between.
I'm honestly waiting to see Blur get put in a situation that he can't handle because he doesn't have the experience with straight-up Decepticons, because he doesn't have the experience with missions being this much more difficult and this much more fraught and this
salvage.
Much more dangerous. Yeah, no kidding. I miss Salvage.
That would be so funny.
I
just
actually
like in the middle of a mystery, and he's just like, I miss Salvage.
I actually do miss Salvage. I miss him. I love him. He's sweet.
Again,
yeah.
The voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
That's all I got.
We need that on the show. So, yes, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us and for watching and leaving your wonderful comments. Seriously, chat was on fire tonight. You guys are amazing. In the meantime, Megan, where can the people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. The latest episode of The Shadow Radio Recreation also came out, so be sure to check that out as well.
You can follow Alexis at atorres890 on social medias. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If we ever do that video about Bayformers and our feels on everything, it will be living on that YouTube channel. Season finale for Arrow is tomorrow night, Wednesday night. So tune in for that. Attack on Titan is Mondays. And I'm a regular on Geek and Sundry's Gather Your Party on Friday nights. It's super fun. You guys should tune in. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Ignore the sphere!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.